As always, I like to end these technical nets with a very bit of wise advice from one of the wisest men that I've known, Dick, K2RIW. He would very often end the technical net with something along the lines of, be kind to each other. And this is always good advice, and I always enjoyed him offering it. In these days, it's even more so. We live in dangerous times. Thankfully, there's a vaccine. There's a couple of interesting vaccines out there, and we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, but we're still in that tunnel. So please, be safe, be smart. You know, you don't want to stumble right before you get to the exit on the tunnel. So please, take care of yourself, take care of your loved ones and your friends, and be well. Have a safe week. Have an enjoyable week. Keep the snow away from us all, and be well. And I hope that you're all back here next Sunday night at 8 p.m. when we'll try and do this all over again. So this is AC2GS, and I'll be clear. Have a great week, guys and gals.
WS2N from WB2BXO, if you're still there.
WB2BXO, WS2N. Yeah, Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like LOTW and, use it pretty much exclusively. Ironically, the biggest stations to get LOTW confirmations from are the Russians. Used to take news to get them via Box 88 Moscow when I was a kid. Now I get even the toughest Russian contacts within 24 hours, as long as the guy put me in the log and uploaded it. So in some respects, at least, it's fantastic.
Okay, I agree. I don't work as much overseas as much. Sometimes I get on 80 meters on the DX window, 3.775. I'll get on that, but my radio does not work any more than 20 meters. So that you really need 20 meters. But the states are different. You know, I can do 80 meters and 40 meters for the states. No problem there. So I need another rig. Yeah. But yeah, I remember. You know, 3 years later, you know, you get calls from New Jersey, the EX Association, and all of a sudden you get four or five cards in the mail. Here comes this thing from, you know, from Russia or some other country that you completely forgot about. You know it's there because eventually you look back in your log and you can find it. But years later, these things showed up. But that used to be a lot of fun. I mean, that really was, you know, a surprise years later. You completely, you wanted, you know, Slovenia or something, and it didn't show up, and all of a sudden it does. And, you know, with a real card, with, you know, somebody wrote something out, it's pretty cool. Back to you, Frank.
Yeah, and as far as Antarctica goes, I've actually worked them on 40 meters a couple of times, both with my lousy ground-mounted vertical, with ground rod and no radios on 40 meters years ago, and with some of the 100-watt dipole remote sites I use now. This time of year, I guess it's summer there, they may not show up on the lower frequencies now, but, you know, when it's... when they have some gray line propagation, those guys do turn up on CW on 40 meters, and it's sometimes fairly easy to work. I've worked them on phone also. I don't know how much the American Antarctic bases are on anymore. They used to be on all the time running phone patches. That was very frustrating. They'd sit there running phone patches all day and wouldn't actually work any back. I don't know if you remember those days, Good.
Yeah. Well, they always wanted to talk to home. They wanted to talk. They would try to talk to their family. So the phone patch was great for them, but for the guys that wanted to contact Antarctica. Now, with all those bases down there, and there's a lot of bases, you know, there's a difference between, you know, the pole itself, to try to work the pole itself, you know, the South Pole itself. That's tough. But, you know, there's McMurdo Bay, all those. You know, Japan has a base, Russia has a base, Norway has a base, you know. But, you know, I think McMurdo, they have, pronounced that wrong, by the way, they have a couple thousand people there, you know, on a regular, you know, year-round. Because it's, you know, it's not anywhere near the center of, you know, where the South Pole itself is, but it's still Antarctica. You know, you think it would be more common. You know, maybe it is more common, and maybe I just have not hit it right. You know, and the one time I heard them, it was the time that I didn't see it listed, which was strange. Back to you, Frank. WSUN.
Yeah, well, these days, of course, I don't know if you monitor the DX clusters online, or have your logging program do that, so when one of them comes on, it pops up. They're actually automated CW skimmers that do the monitoring and post the DX. When anybody calls CCDX, the automated skimmers pick it up and tell you where they're where in the country they're being heard. It's kind of crazy, the stuff that goes on now.
And then you got a pile up that you can't believe. Most of them on CW, Frank. So. But yeah, you wind up with a pile up. I mean, you wind up, even years ago, before the computers, you know, all it would take is, you know, one guy hearing Japan, and everybody wanted Japan. Next thing you know, you know, the guy comes on, one or two guys make contact, and you figure, oh, this is not bad. You know, you're talking about the weather. And then after that, you know, you got a madhouse. Next thing you know, the guy from Japan is sending a message that he's going to be working split now because he can't copy the station. So, I mean, it even happened back then, but now with all the, you know, with all these different systems that are out there now, they spread the word the second, you know, somebody comes on. Instant pile up. Back to you, Frank. WS2N. I'm going to sign.
Yeah, okay, I'm retired, so I know you have, you and the other guys have real jobs. Anyway, 7-3 is where it used to be, so you can sometimes work the stuff without the huge pile-ups, and on CW it is, so often relatively easy with, I'm surprised at the stuff I can work with, with 100-watt station. Yeah, everybody's got the packet cluster and then the pan adapters, so they see on their screen signals all over the band, you know, and everybody's right on it. Japanese stations, and they're a little tough for the soft spot minimum to work from here. A friend of mine on the West Coast, the mobile, you know, one of these miracle whip type things on his balcony, and he says, geez, I've worked too many J Japanese stations. I'm not looking to work them anymore. Anyway, 7-3, have a good night. B2BXO.
Okay, and the last Japanese station I worked at, QSL card here, JF1SEK, many years ago. But it's been a long time. I'm retired as well, but my whole life, when I was working, I used to get up so early in the morning. All habits by heart. And, you know, I even start retired. I still get up early in the morning to stay up for this net every night, every year, every week. Stay up early, you know, try to beat this traffic. That never stops, you know. My circadian rhythm never readjusted. Back to your frag, WS2N.
Yeah, I was never an early person. I was found it a bit of a challenge to get to an early morning job on time. I'm glad I don't have to do it anymore, though I am trying to get up earlier than ever, doing a little part-time business just to keep my hand in. And if I don't get up at a reasonable hour, I don't get anything done. Anyway, 7-3. Have a good night. It's fun. TechNet is always fun. And I love the space stuff. The B2BX, so have a good night.
73, Frank. I'm glad you're on every week, most weeks. I think you're here, so thanks for doing that as well. Have a good night. WS2N will be clear.
Bye-bye. See you next week.
KV2IHX radio check.
Yeah, it's at a KV6 station, BB2BXO here. You're a little noisy, but to make another transmission.
Roger, thank you much for the comeback. Using the handheld to do a part of it. I don't know if I was going to make it a repeat if you could hear me. I appreciate the comeback. Thank you, Roger.
Yeah, you're about 50% quieting, I'd say. I'm coming into the repeater through echo link, so it's possible I'm getting a little extra noise. Sounds like you're about 50% quieting, though. The BB2BX, though. And good night.
Hi, Roger. The BB2BX, though. Thank you much. I appreciate it. Yeah, good night. 73. Keep it to right. Thank you. Yeah.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
K2PGD listening.
W2VL repeater.
KD2KNH. KD2OGB mobile. KD2EU mobile. KD2OGB mobile, repeat the call sign. KD2UZU. Sir, KD2UZU, KD2OGB mobile. How you doing?
We're doing good. We're out here in Freeport, and the weather's terrible.
I'm here in Sayville area, going westbound on Sunrise.
Yeah, copy that. Good copy.
All right, Andal here is Craig, on my way to Babylon Station to make my trip out to Westside Yard.
Copy that, Craig. First person here is Tony. I'm a teacher. Stay dry.
Yeah, what do you, could you repeat that, please?
Yeah, I say first person on this side is Tony, and have a safe trip and stay dry.
I certainly will, thank you. KD2OGB mobile.
KD2UZU mobile.
W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
WB2EAV, this is KD2VCQ.
W2VL repeater.
WB2IKK.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu N2VHC Mobile, listening.
Hello, Ken. KD2KNH, replying. How's it going?
Hey, Charlie, nice to hear you. I was hoping to hear you. Everything's all right. I'm headed down to Colorado from Nebraska. How are you doing?
Oh, same old, same old. Everything is going well. Nothing new to report here. A little, little bit of rain and 40 degrees today.
Yeah, according to Bernie and Sid on 770 WABC, you all are supposed to be getting maybe a little taste of a nor'easter pretty soon. A little snowstorm, is that true? Back to you.
Well, I don't believe anything that they say, but today maybe a little bit of a mix and still warm, and from what I'm hearing, maybe Wednesday.
Yeah, they said something about Wednesday, Thursday, it's going to hit about a foot of snow. So I really wonder what's going to happen, you know? And I agree with what you said about, I don't believe anything they say. I hear you, man. There are a couple of retreads, right? They came back from the afterlife, huh? And they put them on that station. Yeah, they're kind of like misfits, aren't they? So, I was gunshot. It's hard to find guns nowadays, you know. Of course, I'm not surprised by that. You can't even order them because they're out of stock everywhere. But I was able to grab, since I've been carrying this certain gun, the Glock 43, I never looked for another gun for years. And my friend turned me on to Sig Sauer, and he says, they got a whole new line of guns, the 300 series, you know? So I was like, really? So I actually just went out and found a store that was carrying the Sig 365. It's actually the biggest selling gun in America. It's a subcompact, 12 shots. I wound up finding one and buying it. And I was lucky to find that gun. It's no bigger than my little baby Glock, but it holds more than twice the amount of bullets, you know? So that was one of my most recent purchases out here. Back to you.
Oh, that's fantastic, Ken. It's always good having another addition to the family, especially a high-capacity addition. very good. And yes, arms, ammunition, reloading components are all very scarce these days, partially due to COVID and the number of new people coming into the hobby with self-defense and sport and, manufacturing has just been shut down, so it's very difficult.
Oh, yeah, I hear you. You're going to love this, man. There's two additions to the family, okay? I bought the gun in a farm store that had a stockpile of really good guns. So my friend told me about it. It was kind of like a secret. So we go to this farm store, and he's got all the guns in the back, and, you know, a gun counter. And we do the transaction, and he gives me two boxes of 9mm, just regular ball ammo, military ball ammo. And he throws it in for free. He says, for every gun we sell, and you get 10% off for being a veteran, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, man, why would I shop anywhere else? And then I saw they had the shotgun I've been looking for. You're going to love this. It's a bullpup design, meaning that the action is behind the pistol grip where you hold it. It's a shoulder-fired semi-automatic 12-gauge, okay? But it's only 29 inches long. It's shorter than a yardstick, you know? Because it's a bullpup. It's magazine-fed. It's fed with 5-round magazines or a 25-round drum magazine. And in the pistol grip. It has a pistol grip, of course, and a front grip, and an assault shotgun, you know? Like a street sweeper type, real short, but semi-automatic. The street sweeper was pump action. This is semi, and it's a company called Landor. The Turkish gun manufacturers are making these as fast as they can make them. They're selling them in the States. And they're imported through different importers in the States, and they're being sold like hotcakes everywhere. So I picked up that shotgun. It's a Landor, they have a name for it. I forget the nomenclature, but it's a bullpup design. Are you familiar with the bullpup style rifles and shotguns? Back to you.
KD2 Canage. Yes, Ken, I'm very familiar with the bullpup designs, whether it be rifle, shotgun, or or whatnot. And very good. Not a fan of Turkish manufacturers because, you know, they do make some beautiful pieces as well as Spain, but don't like supporting Turkey either, even though they're supposedly an ally, but not really. Did they throw in some buckshot, a couple of boxes of buckshot as well?
And to that juicy on a quick one.
Go ahead, break the station.
Hi, Ken, it's Charlie. N2ZUC. Copy of the mail. I was doing something down the basement here. I thought that was made by Kel-Tec, Ken.
No, it's similar to the Kel-Tec. The Kel-Tec is a pump, and they had that one, too. He says, you want the Kel-Tec? That's only $300, you know? And the Turkish one, the Landor, is $500. I says, no, I'll go with the semi-auto, you know? I'm going to get cut off pretty soon. I'm coming into a bad area. But no, the Kel-Tec is a smaller, it's similar in shape and design, but it's a pump. And this one is a semi-auto. Fellas, I'm coming into a place called the Buffalo Cut, and I lose all signal in about 30 seconds. See you later. This is N2VHC.
Okay, 7-3. Be well. Charlie, N2ZUC.
Hello, Ron. Ken, goodbye. Always good talking with you, and enjoy the family edition. I'll catch you again. Ron, how you doing? I'm just about a mile from where I got to go.
I'm doing good. It's hard to keep away from a conversation like this. I just heard. I forget the nomenclature. The name, there's two different companies. Remington makes one, and the Mossberg makes one of those short shotguns. Some people think they're just really great, but they kick like a son of a gun if it's a 12-gauge. But they have them at 20 as well. All right, got to go upstairs. Have a good day. Put your shovel by the door. When I was working, that's what they used to tell me. Keep your snow shovel by the door. There's no excuse. You got to come in for Wednesday. Catch you later. That's who's that, Juicy.
All right, Ron, you have a nice day. And, yeah, I was never a fan of tactical shotguns, but, I've got nothing against somebody getting them, that's for sure, because I can't use them for sports shooting. I'll catch you again, and just arriving at my destination, 82 KNH, clear 73.
73, Charles.
KNH, N2VHD returning back out of the black hole.
Going to a check station. this guy wakes up.
A check station? What, did you go hunting? You got a deer? Wow. You know, Nebraska's one of those places where you can hit a deer with your car, and you can take it home and eat it. Whether or not you got a hunting license, you can take it home and eat it. I'd say that. That's kind of weird. I was always taught if you hit a deer with a car, you ruin the meat because the blood did something to bruise it. But they said, nah, they take them home and eat them. And that's one thing they don't have out here is they don't have deer check stations. They do it all by the honor system. So I bought that shotgun before Biden makes it illegal to buy them, which I'm pretty sure that's going to be one of the first things they do is make it illegal to have such guns. Back to you.
Well, and that's why, you know, when President Obama was elected, you know, it was such a run on guns. And the same thing, when any Democrat gets in for the anti-gun agenda, everybody stocks up. So I was well stocked up for, you know, I'm good for about 10 years.
Yeah, it was interesting. You go in there and he has a whole bunch of these, you know, bullpup shotguns and so forth. And they have short barrel rifles. They have, you know, pistols that are rifle caliber, and like the AR pistol with the arm brace and all this stuff. And everything you buy, he gives you two boxes of bullets. They have them all behind the counter. And he says, "Do you shoot buckshot or slugs?" I said, "Double odd buck." And out comes two boxes of double odd buck. You know, cheapo, but throws them in for free. The gun was 500 something. But you get 10% off. So it's not bad, you know. I mean, you got to get them now. It's cheap life insurance. You never know what's going to happen. And it replaces my other shotgun. And the thing about it is, it's like, you got to strike while the metal is hot. Like I said, these things may be taken off the market. And the most important thing is, my two little daughters like the gun. That's the interesting thing. They like the ones Daddy just bought. Back to you.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of fun. Good family, good clean family fun. And I'm sure you've watched Caitlin Francis when she was 13. That's always a good video to show people.
Yeah, you said you're sure that I watched something, but you're... The input is very low. It's not your audio. It's the input of the repeater. It's the echo link. Say it again. Who's 13 years old? Back to
you. A YouTube video. The girl's name is Caitlin Francis. Look it up and show you the orders. It's from when she was 13 years old. She was on a shooting team.
Oh, yeah, she does that three-gun shooting. Right, right, right. You know, the interesting thing about this bullpup shotgun, it comes with holes in the side of it for that, they call it a, you know, quick disconnect swivel. You plug them into the hole and you release the button, and it has four ball bearings that hold the swivel in the side of the gun, so you don't have to actually buy a sling swivel set and mount it on the gun. It already has these holes already pre-capped into the receiver at certain points where the balance of the gun leans forward. So you can put on a single or a double point sling, those bungee slings that became quite popular lately. And they work out when you do like a three-gun competition where you have to run with the gun dangling from you. And I was going through a closet this weekend cleaning it out, and I found my old shooting jacket from back in the 70s and 80s, 70s. It said Woodville Junior Rifle Club. We used to shoot out at the Nassau County Range in Mitchell Field. You ever heard of such a thing? Back to you.
Yeah, absolutely, Ken. But I've got to get back to work, so we can't continue gun talk. I'll catch you again. I got to run. 82 KNH clear, 73.
Yeah, man, keep your face, Charlie. It's always beautiful to hear your voice. I really appreciate you answering my call, coming back to me, and nice hearing from you. And hello to everybody out there on the island. From another place that, from a place that time forgot, Nebraska, 73, N2VHD out.
KD2VCQ listening.
KD2VCQ, this is KD2UDU. How you doing, George?
Wayne, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm having a rough day here. I'm on my lunch break right now.
Sorry to hear that, buddy, man. I don't know what's going on. What's making it so rough?
Just the job that I'm running is problematic. So, not where I want to be on a Monday, you know what I mean?
I hear you. I understand. I know what that feels like sometimes. Just keep plugging away, buddy. You know, you'll come to an understanding or you'll figure it out, I'm sure.
Well, it's done now. I work a little later. I normally take lunch at like 11:30. But, you know, I start early. But I figured, let me just get the job finished, and I'm going to move on. Unfortunately, today, the second shift people are on vacation, so they're expecting me to work overtime. So, another reason to be not happy right now.
Know that feeling. You got to make yourself scarce when that happens, man. You got to blend into the walls.
Roger. You know, I just might just go home regular time.
You see what happens, man. You never know. I'm sitting here. I just got my new HF rig, and I got the power pack showed up today, so I put it all together. I built the 40-meter bipole. I got it all out there hung. I'm running about a 2.75 SWR on this thing, and I'm thinking I might have to trim it, but I don't want to start because I'm reading about either cutting it or wrapping it. And before I start doing anything to it, I want to talk to somebody that knows what they're doing.
Well, where is it high on SWRs? You know, if it's high on the high end of your frequency, then you would have to trim it or wrap it. Wrap it probably would be better. If it's high on the low end and acceptable on the high end of your frequencies, then you would have to make it slightly longer to make it even. You follow me?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I tuned it for 40 meters, and I came up with each length. The total length was supposed to be 65 feet, 5.5 inches. Each length is supposed to be 32 feet, 8.7 inches. I cut each length to 33 feet, so each length is about 2.3 inches long. I don't know how much an inch means in SWR.
That sounds like an easy fix. Why don't you just, you know, fold it back over so that those 2.5 inches and see if your SWRs go down. You don't have to trim it, just fold it over. Roger?
Okay, that's what confused me, because I was reading either cut or wrap, and it seems like there was a difference, but from reading, I couldn't figure out what that difference might be. So, I didn't want to cut it, because it's harder to put it back on. Maybe that's a good idea, just go out and wrap 2 inches, 2.5 inches back on and see what happens to the SWR. I tuned it right to, it should be, I figured it out, I did the frequency for 7.150, which is right in the middle of the 40 meter range.
Roger. Let me know how we make out.
Absolutely, will do, buddy. I'm just, the other thing I'm thinking, because I'm reading, you know, you want to have it at least a wavelength in the air, but the problem is, about the highest I can get it is 9 feet where I had to install it, so I'm going to catch some, I guess, you know, ground reflection, and I'm thinking maybe that has something to do with it, too, and I don't think there's anything I can do about that.
I have heard that they have to be awfully high, but, you know, I have a 10-meter dipole in my garage, and it's only about 12 feet off the ground, up in the attic of the garage. And the SWRs are low, I think 1.5, I think, on 10 meters.
Well, 10 meters and 12 feet, that's pretty close. I don't know that's a wavelength, but, you know, a 40-meter wavelength is like four times longer than that. So I should probably be 60 feet in the air.
Yeah, you're right.
Hate it when I'm right. But the bottom line is I can't go any higher with it, so basically that's what it is. I'll try wrapping back about 2.5 inches on each end, test it. And I'm also, the radio that I have has a built-in SWR meter, and that's what's giving me this 2.7 SWR. I have an antenna tuner that's and an analyzer that's coming. I got the analyzers coming Friday. The tuner should be coming tomorrow or Wednesday.
Well, the tuner should probably solve all your problems. This is KD2UDU.
I'm hoping it's an automatic one. It's FC50. It's a Yaesu. It's actually designed to go with the radio rig that I have. It's supposed to be just tuned to just that one. You can't use it with any other radio, just the one that I have. The good thing is it's totally automatic. The bad thing is I'm not going to learn about tuning them to a manual tuner. You know, I think maybe a manual tuner I would have learned a lot more, but with an automatic tuner I can get on the air a lot faster.
Yeah, Roger. Roger that.
82 VCQ.
Skiing up, it's mainly noise. I can barely hear any kind of modulation in the background.
KD2 BDW.
W, go ahead.
Forgive my interruption, George, but from what I've seen in my vast short experience on YouTube with all of this, I would think that the meter on the actual radio itself wouldn't be so accurate. Back to your conversation. Sorry to interrupt, guys.
Hey, Mike. That's not a problem, buddy. I appreciate you cutting in and letting me know that. Yeah, I figured if anything, I'm going to wrap it back 2.5 inches on each end. And see what that does, but until I actually get the analyzer in here and the tuner in here, I'm not cutting or doing anything else. What I did was I found a way. I noticed I was gluing it in under the shingle, and I noticed if I put a knife in under the shingle, I could lift the shingle up a little bit and tuck the wire up in there. So the thing is tucked in into the shingle below the bottom of the vinyl shingles, and it's totally invisible. But I could only get it 9 feet off the ground unless I went up on my neighbor's deck and started running extension ladders, which would have really probably freaked the neighbors out. But as it is, I got a full 40-meter bipole out there, 9 feet off the ground, and I'm running on my radio SWR about a 2.75 SWR.
You could always pretend to be putting up Christmas lights. Over.
Buddy, actually, one of my neighbors made a comment to me. He's like, what are you putting up Christmas lights? I'm like, yeah. He's like, they don't look too bright.
The perfect cover.
The only problem is the HOA here is like, I don't know what their problem is, but they don't want any decorations up, which really ticked me off because my son-in-law is a total
lunatic with light. He put so many lights outside of our unit one year that it was blowing fuses.
Geico commercial where you can see it from outer space.
That was us. He must have had eight. He climbed up on the balconies. He tied a rope across between two of the buildings. Had Santa Claus flying through the air with strings of lights behind him. He had lights up in 40, 50 foot trees. I swear to God, when he turned the lights on, the power company probably went into high energy production. Like on what is that Christmas Vacation when he turned the lights on and all the meters went through the roof.
The other movie I was thinking of.
Like, we don't have enough lights. Like, what do you mean we don't have enough lights? I ended up running an extension cord into the basement of the building and picking up some power there because we could. Every time my wife put on the coffee maker, all the fuses would blow.
He did that at an apartment building or at his house?
At our co-op, right in an apartment building. We have three buildings on the property. He had stuff thrown between buildings, going up into trees. We need more lights. I'm like, buddy, we don't need any more lights. No, come on, we got to get more lights. I'm like, I'm not getting any more lights. When they first got together, they were living with us for a while. It was real cozy. Yeah.
What did the HOA say with all the lights?
They were actually kicking in. Everybody else was putting lights up. I mean, the place used to look really great and festive. Now nobody's allowed to put lights anywhere on anything. You can put them in your window, inside your window. You can't put them outside your window. They have to be inside your window if you put up lights. Nothing on the decks, nothing on the bushes, nothing anywhere. Real Scrooges.
What's the big change? Did somebody buy the place and the management changed, or they just... people complained about all the lights you guys had.
I think we just got a couple of Nazis on the board that think they, you know, they the emperor of the co-op.
Oh, yeah, I definitely don't want to live in a co-op.
You know what, there's advantages and there's disadvantages. The advantages are I don't have to do any landscape or any maintenance. That's the advantages. The disadvantages, I have somebody that's telling me what I can and cannot do. Which, you know what, isn't really that bad. I've had my, that vertical, the dual band antenna up now for a couple of weeks. Nobody said anything, so, you know, so far everything is pretty good. Every once in a while, they just get to be a pain.
Well, let's hope it continues that way, you know. Don't want somebody suddenly, thinking about this.
Who could possibly complain about me? By the way, how's your studying going? Yeah, how you doing with that general? You studying, buddy?
Yeah, I was studying last night, and just earlier I was doing the phone thing while I was working. I was studying the correct answers on my phone. So I'm studying. I'm probably taking the test. That the club is given in January, Roger.
Fantastic, because I want to try some simplex HF communications with you. So you got to get that get that license.
Yeah, we could do. Does your new rig have 10 meters? I have a 10 meter rig in the car.
We'll do 10 meters, and from what I understand, with this automatic tuner I'm getting. And Ed was telling me with a 40-meter bipole, I should be able to get 15-meter. I don't know. I don't remember if he said 10-meter, but I know he said I should be able to get 15-meter with it. And I think this tuner I have will automatically adjust the antenna to handle 10, 20, and 30-meter.
I've heard about tuners. They shouldn't have any trouble.
They do coils and capacitors, inductors, whatever they do. I understand it's not the best way to tune a signal, but you know what? If I can get all the HF bands out of one antenna in this place that I live, that'd be absolutely awesome. And as long as I get a decent transmission, I'd be very, very happy with it. Just have to read a lot more. I'm reading the manual on the
HF rig right now. It's just, it's very confusing to me. There's a lot of information, and I'm going through it a little bit at a time. I mean, I'm sitting there watching it. It's in front of me. I have it scanning. It's picking up signals, but I'm not really sure what to do with it once I hit a signal.
What direction does your deck open up to?
Fortunately, east. The building is west of the it's right up against the building. The building is west of the antenna. But I was talking to a few people. High frequency waves will penetrate buildings as long as there's not a lot of metal. This is more, it's really, there's no brick, it's all wood. Wood and sheetrock construction. So I'm hoping it won't block it that bad. But we'll see. Again, it is where it is. I can't put it anywhere else.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, because it would be somewhat directional. But, you know, east isn't bad. That's, you know, you can hit Europe.
While I would get a tickle and a kick out of hitting Europe, part of the reason I want this is for emergency communications. And unless they have, like, a really, really fast plane, nobody in Europe is going to help me over here in an emergency. I can hit that BNL repeater really strong. And from what I understand, they have a standby system set up on that, where, I mean, it would probably still be running through the apocalypse. So as long as I can hit that from here, and that thing's going to be up, I'll have my emergency communications to some extent. But again, limited to that, the range of the BNL, although that thing is 200 feet in the air. So, you know, that might be a pretty good alternative in an emergency. I'm kind of late learning this high frequency rig. I would have rather known it by now, but again, it's really a lot to learn. But I'm into it. I'm neck deep in it, so I'm just immersed in reading and learning and doing what I can. Hopefully, I'll run into a few people on here that have some tips and tricks to get me a little further down the road.
There's a lot to learn. My head is spinning from studying for the general right now.
Oh, yeah, I know the feeling. You know what? The longer you study it, it gets easier every day. It's like I was amazed by the last. When I first started taking the test, I was getting like 40s and 50s. By the end, I was getting 98s, 99s. So you do retain it. It starts to make sense. And then when I looked at that next level, I took the test because it doesn't cost any more to take it. I was like, oh my God. I was reading some of the questions and I was like, oh Lord, I'm not even close to this. Take one of those and take the next level test. Look at one of the next level tests and see what it looks like and you're going to laugh.
I'll bet, I'm sure it's going to take several months of studying for that.
I look at it, I figure if I could pass that test, I could probably build an Enterprise of my own. I mean the Starship Enterprise.
I'm telling you, the more I study, the more I'm getting depressed because, you know, it's...